Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. Matthew chapter 9, 18 to 26. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. The timeliness of this
is to be one of the happiest moments of our lives. For nearly 9 months, Catherine and I had waited with anticipation for the arrival of our first baby. We made all the plans. We thought about life as first-time parents. We dreamed what it would be like to have a new family member with us. But as we sat in the hospital, holding each other's hands, our hands were empty. We had no baby to hold and to love. There were no tears of joy, just a deep ache and emptiness. Joanna had died in the womb a few weeks before her due date. We discovered later that she was very, very sick with a congenital condition that was incompatible with life. We were Christian believers. We believed the God of the Bible, who had created us, who had rescued us, was good. But how were we to reconcile Joanna's sickness and her death with a God who is good and powerful and loving? Couldn't he have made her better? Why did she have to die before even she tasted life outside of the womb? Now, while many of you won't be able to identify with our particular experience of sickness and death, many of you have experienced and are experiencing sickness and the heartache of losing someone dear to you. And some of you will have asked the same kind of questions that we were asking over those years. How could a good God allow so much pain and so much sickness and suffering and death? Or does he simply not care? For many of us, this isn't just a theoretical question or a theological question. It's a deeply personal question. In our Who Cares survey, when we asked the question, what hurts the most, we got answers like this: the pain of a baby lost in childbirth. Others talked about having your health and strength taken away by a cruel illness. Others of the pain of watching family members suffer. Some wrote, what hurts the most is the death of a precious family member, or the death of a dearly loved spouse and trying to live life without them. Others spoke simply of trying to cope with the pain and suffering in the world. Now, sickness and death touches us all, doesn't it? Right now, we're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic as the coronavirus sweeps across almost every country of the world. And this sickness has taken the lives of hundreds, it's infected tens of thousands of people, and left many others absolutely terrified. We like to think in the sophisticated West that these things can't happen or shouldn't happen. But suddenly we're as vulnerable as everyone else, aren't we? We're at the mercy of a seemingly unstoppable sickness. And it's having huge effects on people's lives, on travel, on economy, on education, on the lives of ordinary people. A few days ago, Boris Johnson warned that many families will lose a loved one as a result of this virus. And suddenly we're having to face up to a subject that no one really wants or likes to talk about, the subject of death. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Every one of us will die at some point, and yet few people give serious thought to whether they are prepared for their death and what happens next. Well, as we look at this deeply personal subject of sickness and death, I want to say right from the start that while the Bible does say a great deal about these subjects, it doesn't give nice, neat, or even easy answers. There's a book in the Bible, it's called the Book of Job. You might have heard of it. It's one of the earliest books that was ever written, that was written in the Bible. And it's the story of a righteous man, a believer. And he loses everything. He loses his family, he loses his property, and he loses his health. And the Bible says that Satan brings it about, but God allows it. Now, Job has so many questions. But though the book has much to teach us about how we respond to God, particularly in the midst of suffering and sickness, it doesn't end with a neat explanation of why these things happened. But what the Bible does say, and what I hope that you will see this morning, is that God really does care about your sickness, about suffering, and about the experience that every one of us will pass through, the experience of death. There are many different reactions, of course, to suffering and sickness and death. And it's true that these things can cause some people to cry out to God for mercy and call out to him in the midst of their suffering. But for many people, it raises huge question marks. And maybe it has for you. Here's just a few of the responses. Here's someone said, I stopped believing in God when my best friend was killed last year. You say that God is loving, but if that's true, why did he allow that to happen? What's the point in praying to God about my dad's cancer if he was going to let him die anyway? If God is so powerful, why couldn't he have stopped the tsunami? If there's a God, then he must be pretty nasty to send disasters like earthquakes and AIDS. Does he enjoy punishing us? I'm a medical student. How can I believe in a God who's relevant to this life at all when every day I see people ill and suffering and dying? See, the problem of suffering and evil and death is one of the arguments that people will sometimes use to deny the existence of God. And the argument goes like this: well, you know, if you believe in a God who is all-powerful, then an all-powerful God could prevent or stop suffering. And if you believe in a God who is good, surely this good God would not want his creation to suffer, and therefore suffering shouldn't exist. But the fact that he does, shouldn't that deny that there's a God who is good? So he's either not powerful and helpless to do anything about it, or he's not the good God that the Bible says he is. Or, and many come to this conclusion, that God isn't there at all. Sickness and suffering and death touch all of our lives. They affect the young and they affect the old. They affect the healthy and the strong. Just recently, I've heard about a couple of guys who were relatively young, who were fit and healthy, suddenly just falling down dead. None of us escapes it. These things don't just happen in the war-torn streets of Syria. They don't just happen in the slums of India. They happen on our doorstep and they shatter our lives. And of course we know that death ultimately comes to us all. But when a loved one dies, it hurts so, so very much, doesn't it? Many people find it hard to reconcile belief in a loving God with the reality of the world that we experience. Elie Wiesel was a Jew and a Nobel Prize winner who experienced the atrocities of the Auschwitz concentration camp. And as he watched the bodies of his fellow Jews being gassed and burned, he said these words, "Never will I forget the flames that consumed my faith forever." One of the problems we face when we think about sickness and death is that there seems to be this kind of basic underlying assumption in society that we have a right to unbroken health and happiness and tranquility in our lives. Anything that works against this is seen as evil, and therefore it goes without saying that a good God would surely get rid of these things. But what it also means is that when suffering and death do come into our lives, we're ill-prepared and we struggle to accept it. Whereas in earlier generations and perhaps in other parts of the world, suffering is accepted and seen as part of the life that we live. But the Bible does say that we can have confidence in the character of God as it's revealed in the Bible. Especially as that his character is revealed in Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, people have many, many different ideas about God, about what he's like. But the Bible says and declares that God is all-powerful, that God knows everything and is everywhere. It tells us that he's unchanging. He's totally good and infinitely loving. He fills the universe, and he is deeply concerned about the details of every one of our lives. And I have seen what God can do in other people's lives. I've seen what he's done in my own life. And sometimes in the midst of enormous suffering and sickness, and even when facing death. And though we live in a broken world, the Bible says we can have hope. Because God cares. Because God has entered into this world of pain and suffering. He's done something about it. And the Christian faith offers us hope in our pain and sickness and the heartache of bereavement. There's one of the verse in the Bible, and we often call it one of the Christian's family secrets. And it's truth, and it's a truth that Christians hold on to. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God works for the good of those who love him. I'm going to stop there for the moment and maybe leave you with some thinking about those things that I've been saying. And we're going to move to another part of our service. We're going to focus on a couple of songs, on a song, and then a time of prayer, and then we're going to move into our final part of the message when we look before a video runs before us. Thanks, Matthew. Actually, most deeply aware that we're on a subject that is deeply personal to many of you today, and you know, in saying this and in preparing, one of the reasons why it was so difficult preparing today was I'm so very aware that many of you, these are very personal issues that touch very closely to what you've been through and experiencing. And so as I speak, I want to just be aware of that. We've already seen, haven't we, that this is a really tough question. But the question is why? Why so much sickness, suffering, and death? It seems so wrong. This world doesn't seem this is the way it should be. Sickness and death, why is it there? Why is there so much suffering? Why are people experiencing so many kinds of sickness in their lives? So much disaster. Especially if the Bible is true when it says that God not only exists but is loving and good and great. And in one sense, this shouldn't be a problem if you don't believe in God. If you're here this morning and maybe you're someone who you've got real questions as to whether there even is a God. And if he's loving at all, but maybe you're not even sure that he's there. If we're just a bunch of chemicals in the hands of evolutionary processes, then in a sense, that doesn't create a problem. Well, it does in one sense. It creates a problem. It doesn't create a problem with God because you don't believe he's there in the first place. But it's when you believe in a God who is loving and caring that you are faced with this painful tension as you see those that you love experience sickness and suffering and the pain of bereavement. And the Bible doesn't shy away from the pain of suffering in its characters. The characters of the Bible are no strangers to pain, and the description of their lives often tells that story. We read about them passing through the furnace, or being in a storm, or in the agony of warfare, or in the pain of birth, tried, tested, troubled. The Bible passage that we read earlier in Matthew chapter 9 tells the story there of an older woman broken by years and years of internal bleeding that just not only was incredibly painful, but separated her from the very society that she so felt herself wanting to be part of. And there was a young girl who gets sick and dies. The Bible doesn't shy away from the painful realities of sickness and death. And we're going to look this morning at how we handle the pain and suffering in our lives and the heartache when those that we love are torn away from us by bereavement. But first of all, I want to help us to navigate the dilemma of why the world is like this. How it is that a good and powerful God could allow such things to happen in our lives and in the world. And the first thing that we need to recognize is that sickness and death were not part of God's creation. As we try to shine a light onto the suffering in our world and the sickness in our world, we need to go back to the beginning. And when we do, as we said back in February, when we looked at the problem of broken relationships, that the world that God made was very different to the world that we experience today. It was a world that God pronounced very good. Imagine a world with no sickness and no death. Well, that's what it was like. There was nothing to spoil it, no cruelty, no sadness, no sickness, no death, no physical disabilities. And while the first people enjoyed a relationship with God, their Maker, trusting Him and relying on Him, all was well. But then something went terribly wrong. The Bible says that these first human beings decided that God didn't have their best interests at heart. They decided to turn their backs on Him and rebel against the God who was the very source of their life. They decided that they knew better than this God. And by doing so, they introduced into this world a dreadful disease that the Bible calls sin. The consequences of their rebellion were massive, not just on their relationship with God, that was spoiled, but their relationships with each other were spoiled. But it affected every single person coming into the world from that point on. It had cataclysmic consequences upon the world that God had made. The world began to experience disease and sickness and pain and disaster. Death came into the world that was made to live. The Bible says the whole creation came under God's curse. So it's not the way that it's meant to be. But then secondly, sickness and death, the Bible says, can be used to draw us to the God who made us. You may know C.S. Lewis. He was the author of the Narnia tales, you know, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and all of those. But maybe what you didn't know is that he experienced a great deal of pain in his life. When he was young, his mum died. When he was very young, his father emotionally abandoned him, and he suffered a respiratory illness as a teenager. He fought in World War I, and he was very badly wounded. And finally, he had to bury his beloved wife. He wrote about his heartache in a book called The Problem of Pain. And C.S. Lewis said this, and one of his most famous lines, and he put it like this: God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but he shouts to us in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now, as I said earlier, many people turn against God in their pain and suffering and death. But others, these things are God's wake-up call for them. You see, we can be such proud and self-sufficient people, can't we? But sickness and death and weakness remind us of how utterly dependent we are upon God. But surely, we say, if we're moved by the pain and suffering in the world, isn't God? And if he is, why doesn't he do something about it? If God is kind and loving, shouldn't he always work in ways that will bring us the most happiness in our lives? Shouldn't he just take away our pain and sickness? But the Bible says God has a much higher and greater agenda. He orders the world, he orders the universe and the events of our lives to bring about his good and perfect purposes in our lives and the lives of others. And that takes faith to believe that sometimes. Daniel Ritchie, I've probably never heard of Daniel Ritchie, but Daniel was born without arms. As a child, he endured a great deal of mockery. He was so angry as a young man. He said this, "I used to think that being born without arms was the most horrible thing that could ever happen to a person. In Christ, he has helped me to say that the worst and most painful thing that has ever happened to me is also the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm thankful for my pain. All the frustration that has come with it has reaped a bounty that I could never have produced on my own. God stepped in and carried me along in my weakness, letting me taste his strength, his grace and love in new ways. In my pain, he has magnified many of his attributes." But many people will say something like this, "Well, is my sickness and suffering because I did something to deserve it? Am I sick now because I've been a bad person? Am I sick because of something that has happened in my past?" Many people think in those kind of ways. And Jesus was asked that very question in John chapter 9. A man was brought to him who had been born blind. And the question was asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, sometimes by our poor choices, we do bring suffering into our own lives, don't we? Or the lives of others. But sometimes it's not the case that it's neither of those. In each case, Jesus said the reason for the man's blindness was that the mighty works of God would be displayed in his life. His sickness would become an opportunity for Jesus to display God's power in his life. Now, sometimes God doesn't heal. He shows his power rather by sustaining the person who is sick and struggling through pain and suffering. But here Jesus reveals his power by healing this man and showing himself as the true light of the world. And Jesus still heals today. Not in every case, but he does. The Bible says that sickness and death are what happens because we live in a fallen, broken world. A world in which we contribute to its brokenness. And that's why in another place, when asked a similar question, Jesus says that suffering and death are God's wake-up call, a call to turn from our wrongdoing and to turn to him as our only hope. Sometimes God will use suffering to show us just how much we need him. As I said earlier, we're such self-sufficient people, aren't we? But some people can give testimony that they became most aware of God's character, not in their joys and pleasures, but in their suffering and sickness. It was in those times that they found that their self-sufficiency was stripped away, and they saw just how weak they really were. It was what the Apostle Paul experienced when he prayed to God to remove his sickness, what was wrong in his body. And God's answer to him, Jesus' answer to him, was, "My power is made perfect in weakness." It's often in our pain that we most taste God's power, most intimately. And then thirdly, God cares about and is restoring this broken world. This broken, hurting world. The message of Christianity is that God really does care. Really does care. He could have washed his hands of all of us, couldn't he? It's what we deserve. But a day is coming, says the Bible, when God will put everything right. He will create new heavens and a new earth. We've been singing about that a bit earlier on. when there will be no more sickness, no more death. But we begin to see this kingdom arriving in the arrival of Jesus Christ into the world. God, the God of the universe, could have stayed at a distance. But instead he comes to us in the person of his son Jesus. Jesus was born fully man, fully God. And in him God left the joy and the delight and the of heaven. He came into a broken world. And he suffered with us. And what did he do when he came? It was in the passage that we read earlier, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 36. We read, Jesus went around preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was full of compassion. He entered into the lives of the sick and the broken. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. He touched those who were disfigured and defiled by leprosy. He restored the disabled to strength. He even brought back to life those who were dead. Jesus stood alongside people in their pain and he healed them. Jesus tells us that God truly cares. The God of compassion continues to care for, to heal the broken and the sick and the suffering and the bereaved. But you see, Jesus didn't just come to bring temporary healing. If Jesus were to heal us, that's only temporary, isn't it? Every one of us will one day leave this world. For even those who were raised to life will die, just like we all do. He came to deal with the greatest problem, we might say our greatest sickness. This world was broken when sin came into the world, but so did death. And death in the Bible isn't just physical death. It's not just about stopping breathing. It's separation from God, who is the very source of life. And by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, Jesus came to deal with this problem of death, the consequence of sin. So Jesus suffered our pain. Although he showed extraordinary compassion and love, he was misunderstood, he was rejected, he was hated, he was falsely accused, he was mocked, and he was whipped until his back was like a plowed field. He was humiliated, he was killed by one of the most brutal forms of punishment ever invented. And when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, the Bible said God took the wrongdoing of all the world and he placed it on Jesus. Jesus stood in the place of you and I, of everyone who will ever trust in him. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah wrote an extraordinary passage in his book, chapter 53. He writes these words about Jesus. He took our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we have been healed. Our sin, the consequences of our sin, are so great that only by Jesus Christ dying on the cross was there sufficiency to pay the price. His death is God's rescue plan for the world. In Christ's death and resurrection, God has done something about our greatest problem. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he has done that which enables us to experience God's forgiveness, new life, and a restored relationship with God himself. But in this final part of what I want to share, I want to just talk about sickness, suffering, and death, and the Christian faith. And I want to ask this question, really. Does being a Christian make any difference to the suffering and disasters of this life? Well, my first answer to that question is yes, it does. But that doesn't mean that Christians don't suffer the same traumas and feelings that non-Christians do. Christians suffer and Christians die. But when they do, what awaits them is not eternal judgment. For them, death is a doorway to eternal life. The Bible claims, you see, when we submit our lives to Jesus Christ and start to live his way, the sufferings that once seemed pointless and the evil that we experience can be transformed into something good. So how do we handle sickness and suffering and death? Christian believers, first of all, know that they are in the hands of a loving God. Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, it says this: "For we confidently, joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." You see, Christianity is not about following a set of impersonal religious rules. It's a vibrant, living relationship with a God who loves us. It's a relationship that takes us through whatever life throws at us because we know that we are in the hands of a loving God who sent his son to die for us, but who loves us to bits. In his loving hands, our sicknesses, our heartaches, and our sufferings, and even bereavement is not meaningless. It has a purpose. Perhaps for you this morning, you're struggling to find purpose behind your pain. Maybe for you it's a long-standing sickness or a long-standing medical condition that is only going to get worse through time. Or maybe it's the loss of someone you love dearly. Now, without a relationship with the Lord, the best that you can try to do is to grin and bear it and somehow to hope to try and get through it. But as Christian believers, suffering, though painful, has this purpose. The Bible says it's one of the ways that God will use to turn our eyes away from the things of this world to the things that are above. It turns us away from the things that cannot satisfy to the things that can, to the heavenly hope that we have in Christ. Suffering is one of the ways that God lovingly disciplines and shapes our lives for his good. And then secondly, don't forget all the good that God has done. When we go through times, I was watching the news last night, very bad idea. I sat watching the news at about 11 o'clock last night before going to bed. Very bad idea, don't do that. But you know, when you watch those things, you think everything is falling apart. But we forget that the good that God has done in our lives. Living in a broken world does mean we face bad things, but we also experience a lot of good things too, don't we? Often when we experience bad things, we question God's loving care and we forget how good he has been to us. When he has blessed us with good health and love and beauty and blessing and joy and delight. And that's for most of our lives. It's one of the reasons the Bible says, "In everything give thanks for the thousands of blessings God has given to us in Jesus." God urges us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. That needs to be the pattern of the believer's life. When we as Christians live like this, it's a powerful witness to the people around us. Perhaps you know a Christian believer like this. They were passing through great pain and sickness and loss, and yet joy and peace just seemed to characterize their lives. This is the difference that Christian faith makes. I talked earlier about Catherine and my own loss as we lost our dear precious daughter, Joanna. Now, I can't explain it, but as we sat in that hospital grieving the loss of our little baby girl, God was pouring his peace and his grace into our hearts, a deep assurance of experience of his love. And that has never left us, although the grief has been at times unbearable. And then troubles can be transformed by the God of all comfort. Romans chapter 8 says this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." I don't know if you've ever heard of Horatio Spafford. Probably haven't, but you probably have heard of his hymn that he wrote. He was a successful Chicago lawyer, and an opportunity for a holiday arose to go to England. He couldn't do that today, could he? But he had an opportunity to come to England, and because of a change of plan, Horatio's wife and his daughters travelled a few days before him, and tragically, in a freak accident, the boat sank, and though Mrs. Spafford survived, all his four daughters died. Horatio got on the first boat he could get. He crossed the ocean where his daughter's bodies lay. He wrote these words. "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And you know, countless Christians can testify to the truth that in the darkest grief and the most painful sorrow, that God really is the God of all comfort, because he's committed to the good of his children. He can bring good even through our suffering. We may not see it at the time, or we might not even see it afterward, but not one moment of our suffering is without meaning or purpose. And it's this reality of God's comfort that the Bible says sets the Christian believers apart to show comfort to others. Today, many people are overwhelmed with paralyzing fear and panic in the face of the coronavirus and its impact on our health, our financial security, and our freedom. But Christian believer, you have an opportunity to be different, to put trust in God's loving care, to depend on him completely, to show compassion and to pray for the suffering and the bereaved. This is what Christians have done, have always done since Jesus established his church. And finally, you've borne with me well. Let me share this last one. We Christians have a hope beyond the grave where God will put everything right. The Bible tells us that God's answer for sickness and death is Jesus Christ. Jesus defeated sin and death when he died on the cross and rose again from the grave. For the Christian, death is a defeated enemy. For those trusting in Jesus, they can say death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus, you see, doesn't just offer... offers eternal life beyond the grave. Listen to what these verses say in the New Testament in John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." You see, how we respond to Jesus Christ changes our eternity. Jesus didn't come just to save us from sin and death, but from eternal death. One of Jesus' disciples was imprisoned for his faith on the island of Patmos, and God gave him a glimpse of the future in Revelation chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Order of things has passed away.'" That's a description of the future hope of the Christian. It's a powerful description of the world that awaits. trusting in Christ. A world free from sorrow and pain and suffering and death. This is our sure and certain hope for the believer. Now, I'm well aware that I may be talking to someone this morning and you've recently lost a dearly loved relative or friend, or you're going through deep and painful suffering, and maybe you're facing agonizing pain. Can I urge you to come to Jesus Christ? He cares for you more than you could ever realize. He wants to bring you peace and comfort and forgiveness and freedom. Now, you may have questions. I'm sure you have. Please do ask them after the service. Come and have a prayer with one of the leaders. We'd love to pray with you. But let's come to the Lord in prayer right now. I've got a couple of books I'd love to put in your hands. Suffering and singing. If that could be a help to you, just come and ask me for them. But let's pray. Well, loving Heavenly Father, we want to come to you right now. Father, we thank you for what you've been teaching us through your word. And Father, we pray for each one of us. We pray that you would help us, whatever we're going through. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us not to be afraid. And Lord, help us to come to you, the God of all comfort, to rely upon you and to trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry it's been a little bit longer than normal, but we're going to close by a great hymn of celebration, a hymn of hope, Thine Be the Glory. And then we've got refreshments afterwards.